Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Christians begin a new liturgical year with the season of Advent, a time of preparation to celebrate the mystery of the Incarnation.
Some people propose that to protect religious freedom, we must ban speech that is critical or offensive about religion. We do not agree.
You gave the opening prayer for the newly elected lesbian mayor of Houston. Did you get any flack for that?
Sure we do. But again, it shows that the heart of who we are is to uplift people and to love everybody.
All you need is love.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Oh my, I get the sense that there's an especially large volume of email this week. I don't know why. But as I've mentioned before, whereas the email begins to pour in early in the morning on Friday, Jeff does his email roundup every Friday. He doesn't respond to email until Friday. He saves it all up, and then it starts flying everywhere. This morning, it just never stopped. It was just 10 at a time, one after another. And I can guarantee you one thing in the course of this next hour of Issues, Etc., and that is we won't get to all of it, but we'll try and get to as much of it as we possibly can. And at the end of this first hour on this Friday afternoon, we'll be picking Issues, Etc., blog of the week. In the second hour, we've got Soundbite of the Week, as usual, but we'll also be talking with Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, remembering it will be tomorrow that the church actually is remembering St. John of Damascus from the 8th century. He's a defender of icons. He is a hymn writer. He's many things. We'll see what Dr. Bill Weinrich has to say about him in the second hour of the program. Also, Sarah Pulliam Bailey will join us. We'll talk about media coverage of two stories involving abortion. One, the tragic story of the 2,000 dead fetuses found at the temple morgue of a Buddhist temple in Thailand. And then also the coverage of a gay abortionist in Canada who wants to adopt. And we'll see how the media did on both of those. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of This Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of December, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also send us a tweet @IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page. Please do so, because that's one way you can vote for Soundbite of the Week coming up in the second hour of the program. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. If you go to our homepage, IssuesETC.org, you'll find the soundbites right there for you to listen to, and then you can vote. You can email us, talkback@IssuesETC.org, or wait until we play Soundbite of the Week and give us a call. 1-877-623-MY-I-E, or again, the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. All sorts of ways for our listeners to communicate with us. We like to keep all the avenues of communication wide open. Email, not the least of them.
The reason we have so much email is because we didn't have email last week, because it was Thanksgiving vacation.
Exactly. Okay, see, now there's an explanation. That's nice. So people are really anxiously waiting for these responses. I mean, some of them have been waiting 2 weeks for these responses. Or more for these responses. Don't I sound remarkably chipper for a guy who yesterday witnessed the near death of his car? Don't
I? You do.
Aren't you amazed at my ability to work through the personal tragedies I undergo on a weekly basis and just come and bring 110% every single solitary day? That is when the microphone comes on. Before that, it's a 60% at the most. But doesn't it just boggle your mind?
Not really, because you didn't know this, but you had your volume a little bit too high on your iPod, and we could hear you listening to some messages from Joel Osteen's church last Sunday, so you're busted.
Okay.
That explains it.
That is an entirely – that is a terrible, scurrilous lie.
We know that behind closed doors – you really have an affinity for Pastor Osteen.
You know, I really do like Joel Osteen. I think he's a very likable guy. His theology is terrible, but I think he's I would love to just spend time with him. I don't know if he plays golf. I imagine he does. I don't, but I mean, I guess I'm kind of picturing myself with him on the golf course. I don't know why I'd be doing that, but, you know, just spend time with him, see how he is. He seems like a nice enough guy.
I don't know what to say. Yeah.
He does show seem just like a grinds. Nice guy. Show grinds straight into the ground in the first 5 minutes.
You know what I think? I think that Joel has got had to have an impact on Robert Shuler's hour of power because the grandmas
he's killing
who
him.
Give
he's
to Robert Shuler.
He has single-handedly little, killed the hour of power.
It's the grandson or the son-in-law. They always wanted their little girl to marry.
Absolutely.
You know?
And you know, it's not just the exodus of Dr. Robert Shuler the senior. From the main stage there, it's the fact that Joel Osteen was going to kill that place one way or the other. He was. He's the newer and greater Robert Shuler. And what they found so likable in Robert Shuler in the days gone by, and what the theology they learned from Robert Shuler, Joel Osteen just gives it to him, even in an even more innocuous and syrupy sweet way. So, yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. You can explain. You know, we're really remiss. Every time we've done a show on the downfall of Robert Shuler's enterprise, we have failed to ask that question. Just like they, you know, video back when in the days of MTV when they said that video was going to kill radio. In this case, Osteen has killed the hour of power.
Here's a question for you. Do you think Joel Osteen would be successful in earthly terms on radio?
No.
I don't either.
And it has nothing to do with his message. His message probably would just be great, but he sounds, he doesn't, people still want a voice that sounds manly. I'm one to talk. Sound like a 12-year-old boy slash girl, depending on the day of the week. But I just don't think that kind of sweet twang with the kind of high-pitched voice that he has, I don't think it would play well on the radio. It has to be coupled with his dashing and boyish good looks on the screen. It has to be. And then you're like, oh, isn't he a sweetheart? But if it wasn't, you'd be like, is this the guy that's trying to sell me the cut rate mortgages? That's who he'd sound like. The, you know the guy here locally that sells the cut rate mortgages with the real high voice? Yeah, Ray Vincent. That's what Joel Osteen actually sounds like. So I just don't think it would work unless he was trying to sell cut rate mortgages.
But you're throwing out the other half of the equation, his lovely bride, Victoria.
You mean if she was on the radio?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of the television experience.
Well, absolutely. I mean, just picture it. Joel Osteen comes out. He does his spiel. And then it's time for his wife to come out and have a few words with the audience. And she comes out and she's 4'2" and weighs 170, 180 pounds. And she's got a big mountain of crown of curly hair on her head and she wears glasses. It just doesn't work. They would find for her a screen wife. They'd put this woman back in the back room someplace, and they would find a screen wife for her very quickly.
I think the Osteens are the closest thing we have to a
the
royal
Kennedys?
Family.
Yeah, the
no,
Kennedys.
Royal family. Yeah, royal family in America.
Yeah, nowadays
they've got Prince
I think
William.
Is.
We've got Joel Osteen.
Exactly. All right. Let's get to some emails since it's been 2 weeks.
All right. Here's Brant from Alaska. The segment on Harry Potter was really kind of sad, Brant writes. I had a really long and boring response, but I just decided to say people need to stop baptizing their interest. If you like stories about witches, warlocks, wizards, and magical creatures, whatever, please stop trying to find a biblical nugget in them. Or at least please stop making it like it's the main reason you like it. Let the story be what it is, fun. Leave the church out of it. Thank you for reading my shorter, equally boring response. I love your show, writes Brant in Alaska.
Well, Brant, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Although, in the case of Harry Potter, I don't think, in this case, we're talking about conversations we've had with Dr. Richard Stuckwish throughout the course of the whole Harry Potter series. I think there's a case to be made for several reasons that there's more going on there, at least from a literary standpoint. I mean, it's not deep theological stuff, is it? No. And I agree. If you like something, just like it. It doesn't have to become a spiritual enterprise for you. It doesn't have to have some sort of insight for you as a Christian. If you enjoy it, just enjoy it. I agree with you 100%. But I think there's more going on there with the Harry Potter stuff, especially when you kind of back it up with its, what shall we say, literary progenitors, the Chronicles of Narnia, obviously something more going on there, and the Ring trilogy with Tolkien, obviously something more than just mere fiction going on there. Now, does it rise to that level? Absolutely not. Not in my opinion. But it's worth considering. It's worth considering, which is what we do. And it's why we don't spend an inordinate amount of time talking about the spirituality of Harry Potter, because honestly, there just isn't that much there. There's something there, but there's not that much there. But I'm all with you on this baptizing your preferences. It's Christians do too much of this. This is why we end up with stupid things like Christian insurance companies and Christian restaurants and all the. If you like hamburgers, just eat hamburgers. Find the best hamburger you can eat and spend your money there. The guy doesn't have to have fish on the front door.
They don't have to be closed on the large day.
To
purchase things from them. Whatever happened to him, by the way? The guy in St. Louis, the TV guy, that was his big commercial.
He was closed on the Lord's Day?
The Lord's Day. He's from South County, so yeah, Gettikers. Yeah, whatever happened to Gettikers?
Well, maybe they closed on every day of the week, not just the Lord's Day. Who knows?
Economy's rough. It's rough out there. Terry writes this. I was listening to one of your shows during the Thanksgiving break. I was listening to a discussion on giving thanks. During it, the guest spoke of the idea of singing as a means of Thanksgiving. Just one thought for your guests. He spoke of the angels singing at the birth of Jesus. Yes, there is a Christmas song that says that, but the Bible does not. Throughout Scripture to Revelation, it does not speak of angels singing, but saying. I like to think that worship and song is a unique gift God has given to his creation, man. For some reason, we think hymns are always truly biblical, writes Terry.
I don't know if you can make the case that angels are never said to be singing. I would have to look into that one. But in the case of the Christmas song, so to speak, even though it's always been understood as a song, yeah, they are speaking, at least as far as the text says. Nice correction. We'll be right back.
I will answer if you follow.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
No weather reports necessary. We broadcast to the world. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sikeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll go through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, also sometime here in the first hour, and then blog of the week. A little bit later, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. When we go through email, you may notice that when we go through email every Friday, that we start with the criticisms. That's because we like to put that stuff up front. We want to make sure not only that the criticisms are heard and responded to, but also that people feel free to criticize what they hear. If little, big, doesn't make any difference. Something significant, something less significant. We want to hear those criticisms, not only through email, but through the Issues Etc. comment line, which, by the way, is always open. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. We're more than happy to take our listeners' criticism. Another one here, don't we?
This is from a listener in Virginia. Just heard your tag during an Issues Etc. classic, which said, "Don't be a podcast freeloader. Help support Issues Etc." I would really appreciate you taking this off. My wife and I support Issues Etc. financially in our prayers and in promotion among our friends and at church. We're trying to do so at the best of our abilities and are financially able to do more than some. Even so, we realize that financial support is not the only important support you can get. Please don't make our brothers and sisters who may be financially unable to help feel financially that they are second-class citizens. Their prayers and verbal support are also important. It is important that they feel free to come to the table and be fed, even though they may not have the money to pay for the meal. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email.
All right, and thank you for the we like to be called on this kind of stuff. That doesn't necessarily mean that we always take our listeners' advice, but we do like to be called on this. And let me explain a couple things here. First of all, thanks to everyone who listens. The most important thing that anyone can do is listen to this show. Not the most important thing in your life, but from our perspective, the most important thing that someone can do is listen to this show. If you can't afford to support us, that's great. Keep listening. We're not trying to make anyone feel like second-class citizens. If you can and do support the program, thank you as well. What we've discovered is listeners are supporters, and supporters are listeners. That's the way it has always worked with Issues Etc. Now, we use the term podcast freeloader, obviously, tongue-in-cheek, not to make anyone, whether they support us or not, feel like a second-class citizen or a second-class listener. We love our on-demand listeners. When we say that, we mean it. We love our on-demand listeners. They are the backbone of our listenership. They are the backbone of our support. And we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us either. So, but I'll say this much. That is, we're trying to find a way in those. Are those the Issues Etc. classics? Yeah. By the way, these classics are on the website occasionally. When the season demands, when we find something that's great from the old Issues Etc., we bring it back and we make it a classic. And in there, you'll hear something like, "Don't be a podcast freeloader. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Here's how." Something short, something ear-catching, something that people will remember to tell people that, look, we know how many people are listening via podcast. We know how many people are downloading the podcast of each and every episode of Issues Etc. We have those numbers down to the last single person. They're not difficult to come by. And we also know how many people actively support Issues Etc. And there is a discrepancy there. The backbone of our support is the podcast listener. 3/4 of the shows that are downloaded via iTunes. And it's a lot of shows. So 3/4 of our on-demand listeners are listening via the podcast. That means usually they're listening on demand a little bit later, some after the show is played. And when we see these large numbers in the podcast and a discrepancy with the number of people who actively support us, we want a way of saying kindly, tongue-in-cheek, to our listeners, look, we know that you're out there listening. Please remember that this podcast, this on-demand listening, this radio program does cost money. Please remember to support us. Just a reminder, a gentle tongue-in-cheek reminder to our listeners, our on-demand listeners, whom we love so very much.
We have heard from actually a couple of listeners who did hear that and then told us, I can think of 2 instances right now, an email and a phone call we got. It's like, I've been listening for years and I just never have given.
They just needed the little nudge.
Yes, yes. And the that kind of prompted them. But
Let me say this. I'm the biggest podcast freeloader in the entire world. I have right now on my what is this thing called again? Yes, I should know. It's the reason I work. On my iPod, I have probably at any given time 100 to 200 podcasts of different radio programs. I'm a podcast freeloader. And I need to be reminded by other radio shows that I listen to help support that too. I need to be reminded because I'm one of them. So
well,
here's the biggest one you'll ever meet.
When the new Republican Congress takes over in January and they cut funding for National Public Radio, which is where you have most of your downloads from,
sure,
you better start paying them, or they might go bye-bye the way we
you're
went
right.
bye-bye.
When you're right, you're right. I won't argue with you.
Don't be a podcast free lawyer, Todd. Give the National Public Radio.
You know, we could do what one of the shows I listen to, but we're not going to do this. One of the shows I listen to actually will call up people who have been told by friends, oh, this guy listens to your show all the time, but he has never given. They'll actually call you up at home and embarrass you on the air, but we won't do that.
We won't do that. No,
no, we want our listeners to keep listening.
Speaking of fiscal conservatism, my criticism 2 weeks ago about being a true fiscal conservative and wondering why we spend the amount of money we do with NASA.
NASA.
Yes. This is Paul in Tampa. Didn't agree with what I had to say. NASA has provided us innumerable benefits over the past 51 years. Yes, space flight is expensive, but what it provides in the end is more than worth it. Ask Colonel Williams, an LCMS astronaut, about the benefits of NASA. Hopefully I'll get to watch one of the last shuttle launches while I'm here in Florida. By the way, NASA doesn't control all space activity. There's commercial private sector space flight activity and Department of Defense space activity. GPS, by the way, is fundamentally a Department of Defense system, not a NASA system.
Oh.
I agree with you on fiscal conservativeness, but there are other places to cut before wiping out NASA funding, writes Paul in Tampa.
All right. Well, you know, Craig, you actually went and saw one of those shuttle flights.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that story sometime.
Play by play?
I would just love to hear that story.
Which will take longer? The recreation of this play-by-play of his shuttle experience or the play-by-play we get of his daily luncheons?
Lately, you know what it's been? And I'll tell you what. I never tire. I never tire of hearing these descriptions. I told my wife many times Craig could have his own show on the Food Network. It would just be Craig, not cooking. He wouldn't cook a thing. Ma would do all the cooking in the background. Craig would just sit at the table, eat the food, and describe it.
Is it ready yet?
Yeah.
That's my question.
That's the name of your show on the Food Network channel. It would be, Is It Ready Yet with Craig? And then you'd just sit at the table, and you would take a bite, and you'd explain. You'd talk about the food. You'd tell us about it. You'd ask Ma a few questions. It would be a huge hit. And lately, it's been turkey salad.
Oh, this is my favorite time of the year when it comes to leftovers, because the turkey leftovers straight to the food processor and turkey salad abound. It's all over. I've got one more day left of turkey salad, and then the turkey leftovers are gone.
How big was the turkey that Ma made?
She made a 20-pounder this year, so we had plenty of leftovers.
So that's divided between three people.
No, I would have to say that I ate the lion's share of the leftovers.
So you have stretched a single turkey, let's say a third of the turkey, 7 pounds of a turkey. You've stretched it how many days?
Well,
we're talking about 8 days now since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you're the Hanukkah boy of leftovers. But, 8 days of leftovers.
No better time for me with leftovers than after Thanksgiving. But as far as the NASA email went, I don't know if you realized it, Todd, but to our listeners, big edit there. Jeff's going to want to probably reread that email after the show's over, because what do you have, three screw-ups? So
yeah, well,
I'll have to re-record that one.
My wife is coming to pick me up because one of our cars is on the fritz, and I told her shortly after 5:30. But if Jeff is going to require edits, we're going to be here till 9 o'clock again.
Space flight. I can say it. Space flight. It's like three times that word was in that email. I couldn't get it once. That was 0-for-3. Totally blew each and every one of them. Some more criticism. This comes from Margaret. I love issues, etc. Well, there's some compliment and criticism. Commendable, especially the hymn study and Bible study discussions. Actually, all the programs are excellent. Offensive, the toilet seat remark. She's referring to a liner that says the toilet seats are always up at LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Which is a true statement, by the way.
I couldn't believe my ears. Not only is it in poor taste, but it's just plain disgusting as well as completely inappropriate. Please remove it. Thanks, and thanks for listening, writes Margaret.
Yeah, and if you could see the toilet up to which we refer, not to go deeper into disgustingness, but if you could see it, you would be even further disgusted. Why do we have that liner, Jeff? We've had it from day one.
I understand. My mother, who's listening right now, she only listens during the listener email because I'm on the air. This is
right.
My
she puts her hands
so
over her ears.
Right, she cannot stand it either. First of all, that we do not play that liner very often. But what we're trying to say is the overwhelming majority of people who listen to Christian radio are women. It's just a fact. Always has been, always will be. We're trying to say, here's a haven here at Issues, Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, where men can listen too.
And two. We don't want to drive the women away.
Exactly. But we're trying to, since most people that listen are women, we're saying, hey, guys, you know, that would catch any guy's attention. And obviously some women, too.
And it was Jeff's idea. And I think I still think it's a brilliant idea. It's a true statement. And it is the one thing that of the hundreds of people who have visited this studio in the last several years that they want, besides to meet Craig, what they really want to do is meet Craig and then engage him in long conversations, which he's happy to do. Second to meeting Craig, they want to check out whether or not the toilet seat is really up here at LPR. They want to check that out. They do. Many, many people. One person even took a picture of it. I think we actually posted it online. But this place, by the way, gentlemen, this place is turning into a man cave. Did you ever notice this? My wife has only been here like one or two times. And she said, you guys are pigs. And it's true. We've grown accustomed to the mess. We're going to have to kind of straighten up around here. I mean, it's disgusting right now. It's a man cave, a very unkept man cave. Be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Christmas and one for Epiphany. And we'll send you this new CD for any size year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Kelly Klinger was once a backup singer for Britney Spears. In her early 20s, Kelly had two abortions. Now, when the issue of abortion comes up, she's often flooded with memories of the deaths of her unborn children. Kelly said, "Just when I think I've pushed the memories far enough behind that they won't catch up with me, there they are again." She describes feeling paralyzing self-hatred and suffocating guilt. Kelly has an answer to those who say abortion isn't a big deal. She said, "I know what I saw. I know what I feel. I will never be the same." Millions of women and men who have made a decision to abort their unborn child can relate to Kelly's feelings. If you're one of them, contact me at lifeissues.org. We'll get you the help you need to heal.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Jesus died on the cross, and everything you now struggle with has died with him. Jesus has risen from the dead. You will too. The things with which you struggle in your life, these things will not rise.
There's just nothing left of the institution of marriage by the time people like Judge Walker get finished with it, except a government registry of friendships, which is really quite pointless.
I praise you 24/7.
And this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How?
I'll never forget this ever. Thanks, though.
If that's what you're looking for, is a church in which I am going to have nothing but happy thoughts and be given a positive image of myself, then repentance is a buzzkill.
Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up about an hour from now. We'll play those four soundbites for you in their entirety, and then you get a chance to vote and pick Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Vote in advance. You can listen at our website, issuesetc.org. You can send it. Email to us, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. By the way, something else you'll find if you send us an email, the new journal, at long last. Jeff actually had to, last time we were on the air on Friday, Jeff, it was Jeff's last final, I think he called it the nuclear option at the time, to get me to finish the journal by publicly embarrassing me, which he'd failed to do because I'm impossible to embarrass, at least with regard to my procrastination. I fully confess to it. But he finally got me to finish. It was amazing. The very next weekend, I actually finished the journal. And there's an article in there that I've written called The Theology of Jesus that explains how the confession of the Trinity and the confession of Christ are synonymous with one another, that you can't have one without the other. And it also, in some ways, bemoans the loss of the Trinity in Pop American Christianity. Speaking of Pop American Christianity, the Wittenberg Trail feature there is written by Pastor Mason Beecroft of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he talks about his journey from literally the heart of American evangelicalism, Dallas Theological Seminary, to the parish pastor of a Lutheran congregation. You can find out about the journal at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click journal, or you can subscribe by sending us an email, journal@issuesetc.org, journal@issuesetc.org. Next, a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Paul in Milwaukee calling on November 30th regarding today's segment on Steve Johnson of the Buffalo Bills dropping the pass and blaming God for the same in the Sunday NFL football game. You might want to, if possible, check a transcript of the Rush Limbaugh program on Monday when Mr. Limbaugh took this up. I think you may find that Limbaugh was advised by one of his staff members that Johnson, subsequent to his initial remarks, retracted them, at least in part, apologizing for blaming God for his own football ineptitude.
Thank you very much. I was not aware of any apology that he may have made. We were acting from the CNN story, if I'm not mistaken, on the tweet that caught everyone's attention, the tweet wherein Jackson complained to God about, well, God essentially being responsible for him dropping the pass that lost the game for them. And actually, that's part of some of the montage. There is one of the Issues Etc. sound bites of the week coming up here in just a few minutes. But thanks for the clarification there.
The most email response we received from programs this week, what do you think?
Masonic Lodge. Yes?
That's because I sent you. Why do I ask you this? I sent you all the email. Yeah,
yeah,
I
but
mean,
you
I,
know
would,
me.
I never would have guessed that.
You
would
know.
You? Seriously.
No, never. I mean, I would never
That's
have guessed.
That's not the most downloaded show so far, but it's the most feedback we've gotten. Here's one from Daryl. He said, thank you for having Dr. Schmidt on Issues Etc. recently. His speaking about Freemasonry reminded me of something that happened to my dad many years ago. He was a Mason, but it dawned on him that what was going on in the lodge was contrary to the Christian faith. So one day he stood up at a lodge meeting, said he wouldn't be coming back, and explained why. That Masonry is contrary to Christianity. Well, when it comes to fraternity and the brotherhood of man, all hell broke loose. His words were not welcomed. I am proud of my dad for confessing the faith in a very difficult place, writes Daryl.
And that's, you know, I think a lot for a lot of people who were or dabbled in those things because, you know, they just show up, the guys who they play golf with say, hey, you'd be a great candidate for the lodge, and then they get involved in it. They don't realize at first what they're becoming involved in. But this is why the Christian must know what he believes and what any organization he associates himself with believes as well, because the Christian is a Christian first and last, even if he's asked to join an apparently innocuous fraternal organization. And that's a story that's been told many, many times. Thanks for the email.
We'll take another one on Freemasonry. Eric in Evansville, Indiana. He says, can a Freemason be a Christian? For example, Harry Truman was a Baptist. Would his membership in Freemasonry make him not a Baptist? As another example, Jesse Jackson is a Freemason. Would that make him not a Christian? Thank you. I very much enjoy Issues Etc. and look forward to each topic. Thank you, writes Eric, and thank you for listening, Eric, in Evansville, Indiana.
And the answer to that question, I think Dr. Schmidt answered it very succinctly at the end of our conversation on Freemasonry. That depends. If he is ignorant of what Christianity teaches, one might begin to wonder, apart from simple childlike faith in Jesus Christ, one might begin to wonder whether or not he's a Christian. But a person could be a Christian and a member of the lodge if he's ignorant of what the lodge teaches, which is kind of difficult to do. But if you, who knows? It's a possibility. So if one is fully aware of what the lodge teaches and thinks that they can reconcile that with the Christian faith, especially with regard to works righteousness, then one could hardly be called a Christian because they're forfeiting the central teaching of the Christian faith in favor of the works righteousness of the lodge.
This is Herman calling November 29th, and I was wanting to just discuss the emphasis of Lutheran orthodoxy versus pietism that was raised last week in the week of Thanksgiving of the programs, and putting together what one of your guests, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and Dr. Ronald Furhan. You have a young pastor up and coming and a veteran emeritus theologian. I see them dovetailing and promoting Lutheran orthodoxy and asserting this important principle. If pietism states that orthodoxy is dead, the problem with pietism is that it emphasizes the side that's dead in sin. That's the human side. It is Lutheran orthodoxy that emphasizes forensic justification of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, fully atoning for sins, bestowed through the means of grace to the sinner. And without that, there's nothing else. That is the personableness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, first of all and last of all. So it is necessary from that divine side to go into the human condition with the gospel and atonement of Jesus Christ. You can't go the other way. Man cannot, by his own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him as Savior. The means of grace, Christ by the Holy Spirit, need to work that through the means of grace. So it's always personal as far as Christ is concerned to the sinner. Thank you very much.
And very, very well put. If we begin with man, even man in his fallen condition, even if that's acknowledged, if we begin with man, we will never arrive at God. Man, water does not rise above its own level. Man's knowledge of God, his natural condition, never gets us anywhere near God. It's only we know he's out there, we don't know who he is. So the Christian enterprise is always one that does not begin with me, my thoughts about God, my ideas about God, my speculations about God. It always begins, as Luther is so quick to and persistent in teaching us, with the Word of God. That is God's revelation of himself. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Theology is not the study of God. You may have been taught that. You were taught wrong. Theology is not the study of God. Theology is not what man says about God. Theology is what God says about himself. And when we begin there, then we begin with God. And where does all Christian theology begin? God in Jesus Christ. Read John's Gospel, the first couple chapters, and you can't miss it. Thank you very much for the comment.
Here's an email from Paulie, who listens in Finland. This has to do with your interview recently with Pastor Eric Rotman on the old Adam versus the new man. He says, since the Bible describes the humankind as being either in Adam or in Christ, what happens if Adam will be saved? Would it follow that those who are in Adam are saved too? Assuming that the representational relationship between Adam and humanity is not just a fiction or a metaphor, this would seem to be the inferred consequence of Adam's salvation. But we know that all will not be saved. Should we therefore think that Adam will not be saved, even though many people see hints to the contrary in Genesis? Thanks for listening in Finland, Paulie.
I don't think we want to push the in Adam too far. And it is death entering the world. I think Paul's quite clear here when he says that death entered the world through one man, that is Adam. So that in Adam all die. So what happens? What is he saying there? He's saying that when Adam dies, all of humanity dies. So everyone who comes forth from Adam comes forth dead. But then he says, in Christ shall all be made alive. And whereas sin entered the world through a man, through Christ came life and forgiveness and light and immortality, I think are the terms that Paul chooses to use there. So We don't want to push this in Adam too far because obviously not all those who are in Adam will be saved. Will Adam be saved? Well, I don't think there's any reason in Scripture to doubt it. He had the promise. He held fast to it. He called upon the name of the Lord. No reason to doubt it at all. Promise is good for him too. When we come back, more of your email, your comments, and issues, etc. blog of the week.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email on this Friday afternoon, December the 3rd. We are coming to you live. We'll have Issues Etc. blog of the week in the second hour of the program. What will we be doing? Bill Weinrich will join us. We'll be talking about 8th century theologian, hymn writer, defender of the faith, John of Damascus. A little time spent with Sarah Pulliam Bailey of GetReligion.org talking about several issues related to the media coverage of abortion, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
Eric in Maryland writes, "My comments regards to your hymn study on Friday, November 26th with Dr. Just on the hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. The show discussed whether Jesus would bear the marks of his crucifixion at his second coming. I think the answer is yes. He must bear them as they are his marks of glory. It could not be otherwise. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Eric in Maryland."
And I'm surprised how little, I ask this question a lot, and I'm surprised how little thought people do give to it. Why does Jesus bear scars? I mean, the best answer I've ever been able to come up with is he bears scars precisely because we, when raised from the dead by virtue of his death and resurrection, will not bear scars. He bears ours. Those are our scars. He bears them for us. He is the substitute even now. His flesh is still the substitute. It's not as though he was the substitute at the cross and now he's gone on to do something else or moved on or retired or found something better to do. He remains his body, and I think this is why the scars are there. Christ's body, the one he even bears now, his human body, is the substitute. It is the substitution for your body, your life, my life. And that's why the scars are there. And I think that's exactly what the emailer had to say. These are his marks. These are his glory. He wants to bear these scars. He wants to retain them because they are a sign of his glorification, a sign that he is the one, a sign that he has accomplished our salvation for us. They're right there, and they're physical signs. They're the very things that by which he earned our salvation. I think he's proud of them. We should be too.
Eric and Jason in Cedar Park, Texas, writes, in regards to your interview yesterday, or no, with earlier in this week about don't ask, don't tell, don't pursue. I agree with some of the points your guest, Colonel Rasmussen, is making, Chaplain Colonel Rasmussen. As a student of the University of South Florida's College of Public Health, I can certainly agree that there are implications for the health and well-being of those serving in the military with regards to HIV/AIDS and other STIs. This is also an argument that is repressed in the media with regards to the wider culture and gay marriage, writes Jason in Cedar Park, Texas.
And that was one of the points that Chaplain Rasmussen made was, look, we're talking not only about opening the door to a wider transmission of sexually transmitted disease and HIV/AIDS, but we're also talking about now what do you do for the health costs that are borne for U.S. military personnel on that very issue. So there's what the essence of that argument really came down to, we're opening a can of worms. Before you open any can, even if you don't think there are worms in there, you should probably at least check. You should probably at least consider the fact, what if this is a can of worms? And I think he makes a great argument, did make a great argument for us, that what's happening here with the possible repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is it's a can of worms. We actually don't know all the consequences of what the repeal could possibly mean.